Welcome to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk with SDSU Climate Field Specialist Laura Edwards about the impact recent rains are having on the state's farmers and ranchers, and we'll hear about the 45th annual Red Cloud Indian Art Show on Pine Ridge. It's one of the most important exhibitions of Native American art in the country. But first, with school out for the summer, many students will lose some of what they learned during the previous 9 months. According to researchers, summer learning loss is greatest for at-risk students. To help curb summer slide academic loss, the State Department of Education has launched the Read South Dakota Summer Reading Challenge. But instead of getting kids to read as many books as possible over the summer, this program promotes reading engaging books at appropriate skill levels. The program uses an online tool called Find a Book, developed by Metametrics, an educational measurement and research organization. That tool helps parents and students create their own reading lists. Joining us to discuss Read South Dakota and curbing summer learning loss is South Dakota Education Secretary Melody Schopp. And Dr. Schopp, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thanks for inviting me, Carl.
Also joining us is Dr. Malbert Smith, president of Metametrics. And Dr. Smith, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, before we get too deep into South Dakota Summer Reading Challenge program, I'd kind of like to get into summer learning loss. Dr. Smith, how much do students lose during the summer?
That's a great question, and one of the most consistent findings in educational research over the last, really, 100 years has been this problem that you said in your preface of summer loss. In general, students lose a couple of months during the summer of those reading gains that they make over the school year, and primarily the students that are most impacted by this are our at-risk students, and many of these students go home to what I call text-free zones, no books or no magazines. So much of the gains that we get during the school year dissipate over the summer. And again, depending on which reading researcher you're reading, they either call it summer slide, summer loss, or summer fade. But it all refers to this phenomena of losing ground over the summer. And now many researchers are pointing to the fact that if you take 12 contiguous summers where we experience this loss, it explains up to two-thirds of the achievement gap. So it's a very important issue, and I'm very excited that South Dakota has focused on this and is really putting resources behind it to do something about it.
Well, Dr. Smith, why do students lose some of what they learned over the summer? Why doesn't it stay in their heads?
Well, today I'm just talking about reading, but it's also applicable to math as well. But I think reading is a skill, and like any skill, the more you practice it, the better you get. And unfortunately, for many of our students, they're not reading enough during the school year. And then if you impact that during the summer, they're not reading, then the problem just gets exacerbated. And so it's a huge problem to deal with. And we've tried to help work with South Dakota and other states to help build tools and resources that are parent-friendly that can help students continue those tremendous gains that our teachers are getting during the school year throughout the calendar year.
Does summer learning loss affect all students the same way? You mentioned at-risk students, but I'm wondering in economic families where there aren't any books at home, but is it equal? Does it affect age levels the same?
Good question as well. It typically impacts our free and reduced lunch students disproportionately. These are kids who are often reading behind to start with, and they come to school behind, and then if they are not getting the same experiences over the summer that your kids or my kids are getting, then they continue to lose ground even though we're making gains within the school year.
And it's the same for age levels? Does it differ age level to age level?
Well, you'll experience most loss in the early years, but it is a phenomenon that occurs every summer. And on math, it's non-discriminatory. That is, all of our students lose ground over the math over the summer. And as you'll recall probably when you were a student, and if you have children, often the teachers the first few weeks back in school are going over what we taught them the year before for the first few weeks of a school year.
Well, Secretary Schopp, what are you seeing in South Dakota regarding summer learning loss? Is there anything different about what's happening in South Dakota, or is it the same as it is the rest of the country?
I would say it's the same as the rest of the country, but you know where we really began to look at addressing this issue was with our recent focus on having all kids college and career and life ready. And I think that as a parent, as an educator, that it really is our one goal in life, as not getting kids just into the door and getting them graduated, but to make sure that they're on track for whatever follows. And in doing and looking at some of the data that we came across as we were going through, we saw that there was truly a disparity between what our students were achieving across the state in different places, as far as not only just in the areas of achievement in both reading and math, but also our graduation rates. So the backdrop for this, we have some major goal areas, and one of those was to make sure that kids are on track to read by the end of third grade. And just a piece that has really resonated with me that I continue to share with people that really supports, I think, what we're talking about, is that when we think about children entering kindergarten through third grade, they learn to read, which is a really important skill. But from fourth grade to 12th grade, they're reading to learn. And so if they don't have that basic foundation in place, by the time they're, you know, at the end of third grade, they continue to fall further behind. And so this is one strategy we're looking at to address that concern, not only with just our low-income students, but students across the board.
Does this summer reading program in South Dakota and the one developed by Metametrics, is this really focusing on the kids up to grades up to third grade?
It's focusing on students across the board. So, again, I think that, you know, we want to make sure the kids are on track at the lower grades. But if you look and go to the site, which is, again, I want to emphasize a couple times today, it's readsd.com, that we have the tools in place that would allow parents to search for books that are appropriate and at level and at a student's interest level for kids across all different grade levels and not just at the early grade levels. But we know that that's really important.
So how did this partnership, Dr. Schaap, how did this this partnership with Metametrics get started? Is this the first summer for this?
Yes, it has been. I've been through the organization that I belong to, through the Council of Chief State School Officers. Dr. Malbert Smith has come and presented to us a number of times about this one. You know, it's such compelling research and data behind what the summer reading loss, how it can affect the student long term. And I've been really impressed with what he's done and what Metametrics has done in many other states in addressing this issue. And it's almost too simple in some ways when we say, you know, what we really want kids to do is to read well, but what can we do to address that? So they need to read, you know, they need to be reading throughout the entire school year. And I think the difference and the power of this is not just, and I'm sure that your children, or I remember I did as well, engaged in summer reading programs that we just told kids, we want you to read as many books as you can, you know, read that 100 books, which is all good. But what's really critical about the work that Metametrics has brought to light, for at least for me, and what we're trying to emphasize, is to match the reading level and the student's interest level to really mitigate that summer reading loss. And so, you know, Dr. Malbert Smith's work has really impacted me personally in making sure that we can bring this work to South Dakota and support this in a simple way and how we can help our students and our parents to really emphasize how important reading is.
Well, Dr. Smith, why isn't just having your kids read as many books possible not the best way? Why isn't that's not the best way to help kids over the summer with stemming this learning loss?
Well, we want students to read all the time, and we want them to read quantity as well as quality. And so the sad news, as we talked about earlier, is this phenomenon of summer loss. The good news is there have been studies, and probably the best research on this has been done by Dr. James Kim at Harvard, where he's done true randomized controlled studies, where he's looked at reading programs over the summer to see if we can mitigate this summer loss. And what he found was that there are a couple of variables that are very important. Number one, you have to pay attention to interest. If students are getting books that they're not interested in, they're not going to read them. So interest is very important. In addition to interest, if we're getting books to students that, A, they're interested in, but it's way too hard for them, they become frustrated. This is summer. They may not have the resources at home for a parent to sit and listen to them read or to scaffold the book like they get perhaps in the school year. If the book is way too easy for them, they're not going to be exposed to new vocabulary, new syntactic structure. So to optimize that growth, you want to pay attention to two variables, the interest of the student, what they're interested in, as well as targeting the difficulty of the book to the reading ability of the student so you can optimize that experience. Now, one of the things that Dr. Schopp said earlier that is so true is that K-3, we're really learning to read, but 4-12, we're reading to learn. And the only way we grow our vocabulary, really, and that's one of the big things we're hopeful to do, is through reading and reading across the different genres. So we created a free web-based utility that sits on the South Dakota website called Find a Book. And parents and students can simply go to that website at Read South Dakota, and they can click in their grade they're in, their reading level on Lexiles. But if they don't have their Lexile measure, we ask a simple question: do you find reading at your grade level easy, hard, or just right? Kind of the Goldilocks question. And then they select over 150 interest genres. So you and I you might be interested in fiction and science, and I might be interested in mystery. So you click on what you're interested in, and now it searches through hundreds of thousands of books and builds a customized, to do the popular vernacular, I guess, is a playlist for you and a playlist for me, and then you can go to your library and get those books and start reading. So what we've tried to do is just to make this very parent-friendly, and on the, Dr. Schopp mentioned it earlier, but on the South Dakota website, which I'm on right now, there's just a tremendous number of resources for parents. They even had a resource there called 44 Things Parents Can Do with Their Children. And I would strongly encourage parents and grandparents to look at this website, because they could really, there are great resources on here, and it's a great way to promote reading over the summer.
You use the term Lexile measure. What is that?
Lexile measure is a tool that measures the complexity of the text, complexity of the book. The lower the Lexile level, the easier the book is. So something like 200 Lexiles might be a Goosebumps book, whereas something at 12 to 1400 Lexiles would be something like Samuelson's Book of Economics. And we know, and then we have measured students on that same scale, and that allows us to match readers to books at the proper level so that they're not frustrated and that they can read it independently.
So this is just a handy way to just narrow that down. So you're getting the right book to the right kid that will really
right
motivate them to read.
You said that much better than I did. Thank you.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking about the State Department of Education's Read South Dakota Summer Reading Challenge, a program to help curb summer learning loss. With us is South Dakota Education Secretary Melody Schopp, and also with us is Dr. Malbert Smith, president of Metametrics, and the state has partnered with Metametrics for the Read South Dakota program. And again, you can find more about that at readsd.com. Dr. Schopp, To get kids motivated to read, what are some of the challenges that parents face during the summer months?
I think it's exactly what we just discussed a little bit earlier, in that a lot of times we have not, and again, I would reiterate, we have a list of 44 things parents can do, and I was going through this again this morning, and I think that we need to be modeling this within our houses about the value and the importance of reading. And if we want them, kids to see us to be, and if we want them to be good readers, they need to see us reading as parents as well. There's a lot of different things that, you know, parents can do to make it exciting, to do the challenges within the house themselves, but to even get kids to the library. And I remember very clearly my mother taking me to the library and getting that library card, and there was something rather golden about that experience and having my own library card and spending time with her at the library or with other students and other kids as well. So I think there's some simple things that we can do to model that, make that challenge. And I think that we are sometimes interrupted by many of the quick, technology fixes. I'm a technology guru, and I love the technology myself, but I do believe that we really need to get kids really enjoying and loving that moment of reading as well, and we can do that by modeling that within our own homes.
Well, this program, Dr. Schaap, is the State Department of Education partnering with libraries or schools in any way?
Excellent question. Our state library is actually helping us in taking forward this challenge. You'll find that in libraries, and Dr. Smith can help me with this, but we have, I don't know how many books are what we call already Lexiled that have a score with them as well, that librarians are very familiar with. And so our summer reading challenge is across the state, in that we are getting libraries across the state engaged in this, as well as our own state library is leading this challenge and really helping us to get the word out and get the training out. So really it's a statewide effort and initiative that doesn't just end at the end of summer. My goal is, and the goal of the Department of Education, is to continue to expand this work throughout the school year. I'd love every parent to have a knowledge of what a Lexile really means and to be able to articulate that and help their students to understand where they're at and to build this love of reading when we know what it does and how it can really help us to be successful all the way throughout our lives. I think that it becomes a challenge, but also something that is very doable within our education system in South Dakota.
Well, Dr. Smith, in talking about the Lexile measure, and I think Dr. Schaap just touched on this, but I'm curious as how the books themselves get that the Lexile measure.
The publishers send us their books, and we measure them. We've been doing this since 1984. We've measured almost any school book or in any trade book that is out in the marketplace. We also have measured books in Spanish as well. And so almost any book that a student would want to read has been measured. In addition to that, hundreds of millions of articles. So if you go to the library, and most states use EBSCO or ProQuest or Cengage as one of their digital content providers, all of those articles have been measured as well. So if a student's going to the library, they can find articles. If they're doing an research on photosynthesis, they could find articles at their reading level in the libraries of South Dakota. And just to piggyback off Dr. Schaap's comment, the libraries are our biggest partners and assets if we can deploy them for this college and career readiness. If they are a treasure trove, they have all the nonfiction and the fiction, and so just trying to get students connected. And one of the things that we have discovered in the states we've worked with is the Find a Book resource actually gets connected to the public libraries and is one of the top web utilities of connecting to public libraries in America now.
That leads me to this next question regarding what you have discovered in working with other states. Have you fine-tuned this program, the Lexis measurements? Is there a way to see that this has been an effective way to promote reading and curbing that summer learning loss?
Yes, we've worked with now 22 states, sometimes in some states it's the governor. So in Kansas, we worked with Governor Brownback and their summer literacy programs. So in some states, it's with the state chief, like Dr. Schaap in South Dakota, and sometimes it's the governor. And one of the things that we're finding is that it's important to sustain this. There are no silver bullets in education. But if we don't take care of learning outside the classroom, all of our silver bullets that we have in education are less shiny than they are if we take care of that. Said differently, if we have a student in school and they have perfect attendance and they never miss a school day and they never have a snow day, we only have a child for about 20% of their waking hours. So as Dr. Schaap said earlier, this is more than just summer. We have kids over the holidays that we want reading. We want them reading 365 days a year, but it's just very concentrated, the loss during this extended period that students are out of school. So this needs to be a sustained, systemic part of a State Department or a governor's reading initiative, and it's every year, not just one year.
Is there anything positive for students having a three-month summer break that you can see?
Oh, I think there are a lot of things that are positive about that. I think it gives students a chance to read really deeply on something they may be interested in that was not part of the syllabus, and it allows them to pursue their passions. So I think there's very positive benefits that accrue, but there are some negative learning, negative learning outcomes that are a result of these extended periods that we're not in school. So if we can provide tools and resources to, that students can continue to grow during the days out of school, it's very important. And this is a technology and a tool to help bridge that.
This is sort of a personal anecdote here, but what you just said, Dr. Smith, reminds me of when I was in school. That was during the summer months when I got to read the books that I wanted to read, and I had the time to read those books, and that's when, for me, I really became a reader. Is that part of what you've discovered for younger readers these days, too?
Yes, and once we get a student hooked on reading, it motivates them. You know, as you pointed out, you wanted to keep reading. And so if we can get students into the libraries, and what Dr. Schopp said earlier, you know, having every parent know where their local library is or the closest library and going to that library and spending time in there is so important, and it can take a non-reader and it can make them a reader. If you look at the data on reading, and students become better readers and they become on this college and career trajectory that Dr. Schopp mentioned earlier, there's so many other benefits that accrue to them. Health benefits accrue to them. Economic benefits accrue to them. So it's important we get it right, and it's important that we get parents engaged, and that's why I'm so excited to be working with South Dakota in launching this effort and sustaining it over time.
Dr. Schopp, are there any measurements that the Department of Education will take to see how well this program is working this summer?
Over the summer, what we want to be able to do is to carefully try to track how many any increases. So we're doing some very basic measurements, any increases in libraries and students coming in and parents talking about finding the book. What our goal is moving forward in that we do give a yearly assessment. As everybody knows, as a result of No Child Left Behind, soon to be something else with our waiver, we hope to be able to attach a Lexile score to the reading part of that assessment so the parents have in their hand at the end of the school year an actual score that they could have their student be able to, you know, put into the website or take to the library and say, my child's Lexile score is 430 and they love to read these kind of books, and so that we can actually give them, as Dr. Smith mentioned, a playlist of books that they could take home over the summer. So we want to continue to build these tools over time, and that we know that we have that opportunity for it to be an ongoing type of thing. So that will help us over time then to be able to track better how our students are doing and using and taking advantage of the website as well.
And Dr. Schopp, before I let you go, for parents that are interested in finding out more about this and getting involved, it's readsd.com, is that correct?
That's correct. And also, we have created a Facebook page that I would encourage if people are on Facebook, and if they simply search for Read South Dakota, they will find that we also have a website there that we'll continue to add resources to and discussions on reading and be able to update it over time as well. So encourage you between the two different places that this will be a living, breathing site, not a once, one time that we put the information in. But so I encourage those two different places to look.
Well, Dr. Schopp, thanks again for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Dr. Smith, thanks for your time as well.
Thank you.
Melody Schopp is South Dakota's Secretary of Education, and Dr. Malbert Smith is President of Metametrics, an education measurement and research organization. Education Department's Read South Dakota Summer Reading Challenge uses Metametrics Find a Book research tool, and you can find out more about that at readsd.com. And for a little bit more about schools and reading, tune in to All Things Considered this afternoon for a story on the dumbing down of high school reading. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up after a short break, we'll talk with SDSU Climate Field Specialist Laura Edwards about the impact of recent rains. And then later this hour, we'll hear about the 45th Annual Red Cloud Indian Art Show on Pine Ridge. It's one of the most important exhibitions of Native American art in the country.